Okay, we're going to get the rolling here a little bit. We're going to finish up our series on basic training. This is the eighth part, which is longer than I usually go for some of these, but I kind of felt, you know, led the Lord that we need to kind of get some of the basics. This is, there's a few more we could probably do, but I think we're going to stop right with this one for right now and maybe come back to some other things. And, you know, there's so many good things that, you know, God wants to do in our life. And we just need to step into that a little bit. Sometimes, you know, have you ever, the old saying, I'm just waiting on God, you know, but then we find out, well, God says, well, I'm just waiting on you, you know, and that's how it works sometimes. You know, so we sometimes need to step out and to try to avail ourselves. I know that's what really helped me is when I started to get involved. So we're going to talk about church life today, church life. For the last part of our series. You know, church life is a very important life that we need to get into. And I personally tried to do God on my own, starting out, and it was a failure. You know, I thought I could do it all by myself. And I was not aware, really, how off target I was until I partnered up with a local church that I got involved with back when I lived in Denver. And then only through connection will we overcome rejection. So it's only through connection will we overcome rejection. Because a lot of us struggle with that. And serving God with other like-minded people, you know, to me is very rewarding. And it's very life-changing. So what we do together will always be far greater than what we do alone. So we have when we do things together with other people and start to build the kingdom of God, I mean, that's when things really start to change in our life. So I'm going to do a recap here. Week one, we talked about why we need to know the Bible and that every member is a minister. It's just not, you know, one person, but it's everybody in the body of Christ doing the ministry. That's how God's glorified. Week two, we talked about how the Word of God is inspired and that we can trust the Scriptures. And that Jesus Christ was the Word made flesh. Week three, we talked about the Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but they're scriptural overwhelmingly, pointing out that we serve one God understood as three persons, all which are co-equal and co-eternal. So we got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then week four, we looked at the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, which is summed up two ways, is love God, love people, as well as obey God and reach people. So that's what God's called us to do. Week five, we talked about communion and water baptism, two ordinances in the church, which we are to remember. Jesus gave us a visual illustration to help us remember. That's what we do. We're going to partake of communion later on today. And it's a visual reminder of the death of Jesus dying for our sins and how we take his life inside. And when we partake of the bread and then the cup is a symbol of the covenant and his blood, just something he wants impressed on us. And then week six, we talked about something that everybody needs to know, is about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was payment for our redemption. We know that life's in the blood. And so how necessary it is to get that concept. And last week we talked about the second coming of Christ. Hopefully I brought a little clarity. It's broke down two ways. The second coming, number one's the rapture, and that's for the saints. And then you got the return of Christ, which is after the seven-year tribulation, and that's with the saints. So those two make up the second coming of Christ. And the way things look, it could be getting close, right? Not saying it's going to be tomorrow, but I'm just saying we need to be ready. So now we're going to pick up where we're going to start today. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus was talking here to his followers. Many people were saying, who are you? And, you know, they think you're a prophet and all this stuff, or teacher. But Jesus had talked to him, and all of a sudden Peter got this heavy revy, this great revelation about who Jesus was, and the same revelation you and I need to get. And then Jesus praised him for that snappy answer. You know, wouldn't that be kind of cool? Jesus praises you for some kind of a good answer. You know, you finally get it right. So Matthew 16, 18 says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today humbly, just asking Lord, that you just move mightily in each of our hearts and our lives. Lord, we thank you for a special stirring, Lord, that you're going to draw us closer and closer to you. Lord, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation and that words of both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, we give you praise for all these things, and I yield to that gift, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the word church there in that, when it says, I will build my church, you know, Jesus was talking about, you know, church was God's idea. You know, it was his idea. It was his plan. You know, it wasn't some person derived this concept up, you know, a way of getting everybody all to huddle together. No, there's a reason for it. And then it says, you know, that the gates of Hades or the gates of hell will not prevail. You know, we're in a battle down here. And so we need to see the fact that, you know, we're overcomers. Yes. No matter what's coming our way, we're overcomers. Amen. And that the power of God's working in our life. And that together we can win, you know, and we need each other. So the first point I want to look at today is a culture. Culture is very important. Each church has their own culture to some degree. Just a little bit different. I mean, a lot of us do things very similar, but each church has its own unique kind of way of doing things. And we're going to look at ours a little bit. But first, I want to break it down a little bit. The word church, what is a church, is the word ecclesia. And that word means the called out ones. We've been called out. What called out of what? Called out of the world. So to be part of the church, well, you come out of the world. Now, unsaved people go to church, right? We all know that. I mean, I went to church a year before I dedicated my life to the Lord. So, but after I did that, I mean, I finally accepted the fact that I was called out of the world. See, we've been called out of the world and called into the kingdom of God. So we weren't just called out of the old, but we were also called into something new. So it's a different culture. It's a different thing that God's called us into. It's a unique living, organism, the church. And it's not static, it's dynamic in the sense that it's always changing and how things kind of work. So we need to see that we're alive and we're glowing and we're growing together. Now, this word ecclesia is in reference to people. Every time in the New Testament, it's talking about people and not a building. Now, I have no problem calling this building a church, as long as we always remember that the church is really people. The church is not just a building. A lot of people make that misunderstanding and then kind of miss out on some concepts there that God wants us to understand. So, you know, we're a group of people. We're the called out ones. We've been called out of that darkness into this marvelous light. So to me, River Life is not just a place to go, but River Life is a place to grow. That is something that we need to grab a hold of. It's not just a place we go. We just don't just go to church. We grow in church. God doesn't want us to stay the same. One thing I loved about God is he accepts me for where I was at that time. But thank God he didn't leave me there. He accepted me. I, you know, no matter what was going on in my life on Saturday night or that weekend, you know, I hightailed it to church on Sunday because I knew there was something there that I needed, even though I didn't really understand it yet. But through a process and finally a yielding on my part, I was able to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. And then I started to grow. Things started to change in my life. Priorities shifted. And that's what happens when we come into relationship. And one thing that we have to remember is that church is all about Jesus. It's not about, you know, a denomination or we're non-denominational. It's not about that. It's not about River Life. But if Jesus wasn't here, we wouldn't have church. That's right. You know what I'm saying? So it's more than just a group of people gathered together. There's people gathering together in a lot of different organizations, right? But see, what makes the church unique is that the Bible says that when two or three are gathered in his presence, Jesus is in our midst.
Amen.
You brought Jesus here today.
Thank you.
He's living in your hearts. And so we all come, so it's a big part that we play. So no Jesus, no church. And so, and Jesus in this passage says that he said, my church. So we need to understand the church is his. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of all these churches around. And that, and he can handle it. And he's the head shepherd. And so what we do is we yield our personal authority to his authority, because he is greater than us. That's one of the things that happens when we come into the kingdom of God, is that we no longer are in control of our life. The Bible says that we've been bought with a price. That price was what? The blood, right? Remember? The blood and faith is the only way that we do transactions in the kingdom. We already talked about that. Well, we were purchased with his blood, and now if you're a Christian, he owns you. And that's okay, because he'll take care of us better than we could ever take care of ourselves. And as we follow him and we understand the concept of what it means to yield ourselves, to let him be our shepherd. Now, the church is always victorious because we can win over the devil. We just need to see that. A lot of times people feel, oh, I'm so beat up, oh, I'm so down. But the Bible says there that the gates of hell will not prevail. We just got to remember that. Yes. You know, yeah, we may lose a battle or two, but we're going to win the war. And I do believe this, that we don't have to succumb to defeat in a constant basis. Granted, we may stumble, we may go down, but get back up, for crying out loud. Do not stay down. Do not feel that you're defeated, because we serve a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. So we need to remember that being a part of our life. So we have our own way, like I said, is I call it the river way, or the way of the river. Isn't that kind of cool? But anyway, we have our way of doing things. Not better than other places. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying out loud anyway. Well, you know what I mean? But, you know, the idea of what it means. So this is a little bit of river life culture. This is what God really instilled to our hearts when we planted this church. You know, number one is that we preach the uncompromising. We're uncompromising when it comes to the truth of God's word. God's word has a final say. Doesn't matter if we understand it. Doesn't matter if we agree with it. I don't care. But you have to have something as a benchmark in your life. For me in this church, it's the Word of God. If the Word says it, I believe it, and it doesn't matter if I believe it, it's still true.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So the Word of God has the absolute authority in our life. It's not, we don't go by how we feel. We don't go by what they're telling us on the news. You know what I'm saying? The Word is the final say. Number two is we're unrelenting when it comes to the promises of God's Word. We're not going to give up on the promises. You know, the promises of God are out there. He put them in the scriptures for us to gravitate to. Now, granted, some of those promises you and I have inherited already. But there's some promises out there that maybe we haven't gained yet. Do you ever have any promise like an apple? It's way up on the top of the tree. Man, you look at that thing. Boy, that looks good. But I just can't see how I can reach it. Well, just hang in there. You'll get there. Just hang in there. That promise is mine. And that's, I'm going to get it. So I'm unrelenting in that pursuit, and that's what we need to see. Number three, unashamed in the worship of our King. You know, we're unashamed about the fact how we worship God. You know, we don't just sit around on our hands, and that's all fine if that's your flow, if that's what gets you close to God, sitting on your hands, and that's your way, and that's fine. But we don't cookie cutter, and we're going to go into that. We want you to be as free in worship as you want to be. You know what I'm saying? As long as, you know what I mean. So, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. King David stripped down. Now, we don't do that. We don't keep your clothes on. But King David kind of stripped his old outer garments and started dancing. You know, if you're going to be dancing, leave your clothes on. Praise God. That's just all. There is one requirement. That's one of the ones. But, you know, we need to be free. Free to worship God. You want to raise your hands? Raise your hands. Yeah. Amen. That's where it's at. And lastly, we're uninhibited in our fellowship with each other. We keep it real. We don't want to be fake. We want to keep it real. And I guess there's one more, Unwavering when it comes to the things of the Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit is still here today. We believe the Holy Spirit made it possible. We have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues. We believe the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us today. He didn't leave when the Word of God came. He's still here, and He has a predominant thing in our lives, a person. It's the third person of the Trinity. And He lives in our hearts, and He's so much a part of our life, and we can feel His presence. Amen? And we need to get to that. So we really, that's one of our main things also that we believe in. So we're unwavering in that. It doesn't matter if some people believe differently, and that's fine. You know, and that's why they have their church. And that's good for them, but it wouldn't be good enough for me. Because I know too much. I know too much now.
Thank you.
I've experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I know what He can do. And if anything, we need more of Him. We need the Holy Spirit to just break out in these services and just move mightily.
Amen.
Just touching people's lives. So with that, talking about worship a little bit, is that we believe in that freedom of worship, and I want everybody to feel that. We don't want to cookie-cutter people. That's something Pastor Wally always talked about out in Denver, the church I got saved in. You know, that they didn't cookie cutter people. They, you know, everybody's different, you know. And, you know, if you don't like the way somebody sings in the church, well, go sit somewhere else. Don't leave the church. Just move far enough away, you know, that you can't hear them no more. And see, that's why I sat up front. Nobody distracts me. You know what I'm saying? And there's a few seats up front. Every now and then they get filled up, but you know, that's what I do. If somebody's irritating you the way they do things, just sit on the front row and you won't even have to look at them. Well, then you just don't have to deal with me. You know, sometimes I know I can irritate you too, but we don't want to cookie cutter people. So we, in that worship, what I was saying about, we worship God in our own way, as long as it doesn't negatively impact other people. Now, there's different ways of worshiping, you know. We lift our hands, but if you're sitting by somebody else, don't go like this. You know, that's a negative impact on the person beside you. So whap them upside the head. Oh, God, we worship you. Bam, they're knocked down. Slay them in the spirit. You know, no, you think about, I have a weird way of looking at things. Things that are mine, in my house, I can do my way. But when I go to a community place, I feel that we have to have respect for each other. Amen. And so I think of other people's interests and not my own. And that's kind of what we need to do, you know, when we come into a public place to worship. So kind of think about that a little bit, you know, when you're there. So you can be as free as you want, as long as you don't, you know, affect other people. You know, different people I know, they say, well, so you know, sometimes people talk during church. I don't hear it. You know, but sometimes people talk, they say, you know, we just got to tune them out and, you know, try to show some respect. Don't chat during service. Don't play with your phones. That's just the distraction. You know, if you're distracted, that's fine. Go sit in the back, on the back row right next to the wall, if you're on your phone, you know, playing with your phone and checking Facebook and all that. Don't be a distraction. Don't hold your phone up like this and, you know what I mean? Then people's going to judge you. They don't mean to, but they're going to judge you. Because they think, well, you can't pay attention for 3 hours for preaching. No, I'm just kidding. For, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes, you know. So, yeah, just kind of think about the world around you, you know, when you do it. So, we're all growing, and we need to give each other the grace to grow at our own speed. Everybody's going to grow at different speeds. So we need to do that. We need to be sensitive to each other's needs in that sense. You know, some people, they may just grab it quick and run. Other people might take a little more. But that's just the way it is. So we don't believe in being judgmental. So we're non-judgmental. But we also believe that we don't judge a person, just the sin. You know, truth is always truth. We don't compromise God's word. But I do know that when I started out,
I had issues I was still working on, right? And I believe there's probably other people in their life have that same thing. You just don't walk off the street, give your life to Jesus, and all of a sudden everything's 100%, as a rule. You know, it may happen to some, but very few. Usually growth is a process. And so we want to give each and every person that room to grow. But, you know, we do still know this, sin is sin. So we always are trying to walk that tightrope. You know what I mean? So there's always that push and that pull that you and I have to deal with when we're walking that tightrope. And so how we do that, we need the Holy Spirit. That's the only way I can see that it's going to work. Because if we make concrete rules in some things, it's going to alienate some people from being able to come in, and they really need our love right now. They really need some encouragement in their faith so they can overcome. So, yeah, we need to, you know, that. So how I do it, I mean, there's different ministries you can get involved in here in the church if you still got some issues you're dealing with. But if you're going to be on the stage, well, then you're telling everybody, follow me as I follow Christ. Well, you're going to have a little more personal holiness
yes.
to be up on the stage. It's only fair, I believe.
Yes.
And so that's kind of how we flow with that issue and how we do things. So that's how that works, non-judgmental. And I really don't, I found this word, I just thought of it the other day. You know, what's our church like? And I just come to me, we're not churchy. I don't consider ourselves churchy. And whatever that word is, I can't identify it, but see, I was not raised in a church. So I came in from it from a street level, shall we say, when I came into Christianity. And then I served in my local church, but I never chose, to whatever reason, to be on staff at the local church. So I never really probably learned some of that churchy stuff. So we're just, I don't say we're hillbilly, but we're just not churchy. You know, some churches you go into, there's certain parameters and things that, you know, people just expect. And I'll be honest, when churchy people come here, they don't stay. When they're used to that culture. And our culture's a little more free in some things. We're not as, I guess, in my opinion, as astringent on some stuff. So maybe that's it. But anyway, we're not really churchy. And then church is a place, you know, where we participate, not just spectate, because Christianity to me was never meant to be a spectator sport. And so I believe you're going to have the most fun. I mean, I prefer to be involved with things rather than just watching it. You know, I'd rather, you know, I'm getting a little older now, but I'd rather play a sport than just watch it on TV, you know, if I can, you know, if I'm still able to do that one. But I just love getting involved. And I was involved in my local church right after getting saved. I mean, I hopped in. I started ushering real quick. Also, then they asked me to teach little kids. I taught little kids, and I taught a class. I did street evangelism. You know, I don't know. I just got involved, and the growth was exponential. Because anytime you get involved, we grow.
Amen.
Because it stretches us. So, the reason why I believe that is that we all have an anointing. The Bible says in, you know, 1 John 2 that we each have an anointing from the Holy One. Every person here has a special anointing from God. 1 Peter talks about how we each have a special gift. So God has given you at least one gift. I know you have multiple. So if you kind of look at these scriptures together, it just seems like, yeah, there's more that we're capable of. You know, there's more that we're capable of. And I want to be able to help you to reach your potential. Now, talking about kind of how we flow in the area of the pastor in part, let's turn to 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 4. Our concept of how we handle kind of leadership in the church a little bit. It says, 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 4, it says, therefore, I exhort the elders among you
as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain but with eagerness, nor yet as lording over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Okay, so our flow is we're shepherd led. The pastor leads the church. Now, I was a rancher as a kid a little bit. We had cattle. You know, we didn't lead the cattle, we drove them. You know, I either got on a horse or I got on a four-wheeler. Praise God for that invention. That was awesome. You know, saved it. Or I even had to run back and forth, you know, on my, you know, by foot, because we had to push the cattle to make them go where we wanted. But it's a totally different concept. Jesus, he didn't call us ranchers for my profession. He called us a shepherd. A shepherd would always go in front of the sheep and lead the sheep and to bring them to the places that they need to be. So the word for elder or overseer is also the same as pastor and shepherd in the New Testament. These words are used interchangeably and how that flows. So our way of doing it is that we're a shepherd-led church, meaning there's no, church government that tells me what to preach. Some churches are like that. I heard a story one time that, you know, this one church was deacon-possessed. You ever heard of that one? The deacons controlled the church, and the story was that the pastor wasn't doing what they told him, so they took him down to the furnace room and tuned him up, actually beat on him. Now, that ain't cool. That's not good. So that church was deacon-possessed, close to demon-possessed. So, you know, the shepherd leads it. Now, how that works is, you know, the shepherd leads, we don't drive. And to me, there has to be a relationship between I and the sheep that love and respect goes to both ways. Love and respect goes to both ways in our relationship and how we operate together. Now, we're a non-denominational church. I'm not anti-denominational. It just wasn't my flow or my fit for whatever reason. I could go into that a little bit more. I just believe that things are handled better at the local level than they are at the high level. I mean, I'm small government, you know, even in our nation. I don't believe that the government should control our lives, you know. And so we're non-denominational. I'm not anti. I mean, there's some benefits with the denomination that you have that we don't participate. But so what we've chosen to do is that we're part of a fellowship called AFCM. Association of Faith Churches and Ministry. They're our spiritual covering. Dr. Jim Caseman is the head of that organization, and we are under that spiritual covering for accountability, because I don't believe that we should be out there on our own without some sort of level of accountability. We have the local accountability in the congregation, but we still have that accountability with AFCM, meaning if I was preaching something bad, you know, you could call up the AFCM and say, hey, Pastor Brad's off target here. Might need to, what do you think? So then they would probably give me a call. If I wouldn't submit, they would kick me out of the organization. Right? So there's that level of accountability. Or maybe you saw Pastor Brad messing around with the worship leader. Well, it's my brother-in-law. I don't think that's going to happen.
Sorry.
I don't flow that way, but, you know, but yeah, that would be another reason to call, you know. You can't call, hey, Pastor Brad's preaching too long. That's not good to call about that. But doctrinal issues or my lifestyle, if you don't feel my lifestyle lines up with what the Bible says, well, that's grounds to do something about it. There is that reason. You know, we have to have that accountability. So, okay. So now, let's look at another thing that when we come to worship together, like in this corporate setting, okay? We have our Wednesday night Bible studies, which is a little different flow, but I'm just talking about corporate worship today. 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, what is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, that's what we're here today about, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation, but then it says, let all things be done for edification. Okay. So when we come together in this kind of setting, this is what could be in play. Okay. Now it's not just about my gift, you know, and bringing the message. And we give opportunity for other ministry. So that word edification there, so let all things be done for edification. That word edification is kind of talking a lot like a building. It's mean construction, being under construction. Have you all been around construction? Maybe you've worked construction, or maybe you've had construction done on your house, or you did it yourself. It's a process, isn't it? Sometimes you've got to tear stuff out before you put the new stuff in. But the end goal is not demolition. The end goal is construction. It's for edification. It's for building up. So when we come to a corporate group or gathering like this, our church service, the end game goal is that we want to build each other up. We want to make each other better because we are better together.
Yes.
So it talks about having a psalm, having something to say. So we all give that opportunity. I'm going to go into that here. So how we roll. How we roll. You know, preaching part, we have Bible-based sermons. And we try to do a balanced diet. There are certain things, just like anybody else, I can preach on, and I can just go and go and go. Not even need notes or nothing. Those are my wheelhouse. But can't do that. You know how many knows if you only eat one thing, you're not going to get a balanced diet. Right? You're going to be in trouble. All carbs, no protein, makes for a sick body. Correct?
Yes.
You know? So we need to be able to, my job as a pastor is to try to give a balanced diet. So I try to go off and, you know, bring in different subjects and things that we need to know about, that we should be aware of, you know, in the Bible. So a pastor should not just preach on the things they like to hear, but preach on the things we need to hear. And that's part of what's important. And, you know, when I preach a message in our church life here, I try to accomplish at least three things with my messages. Number one, I want to bring edification. I want to build you up. I want to make you stronger. I want to make you see things that you can't see in yourself. I want you to be able to see your potential of everything that God has put inside of you. I want to try to draw that out. And I believe the Holy Spirit can do that in our lives. Number two, gets a little rougher, not terrible bad, but bring conviction. I like to bring conviction. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When we have anointed preaching, the Holy Spirit will touch our hearts, and maybe there's things in our life that we need to tweak or correct, and that's fine. Don't beat ourselves up for it. Repent and go on. Right? Like when you fall down in the mud, you just lay there. It's over. You know, I've been knocked down the mud before, especially out on a farm. Just laying there in a pile. You know, I could have died right there if I wanted. No, I got right back up.
Amen.
You got to get up.
Yes.
Just keep getting up. That's the difference between losing and winning, is you keep getting back up. So conviction will come, and it's supposed to. And then the last thing is correction. Sometimes when things are out of whack pretty far, well, then we have to maybe have a conversation a little bit. Hey, what's going on here? How does this work? You know, I've had to do that several times, you know, just to kind of help people. And it's not to put people down, but it's always to bring them back on track. It's not to chase people away. Like I always said, do not be the person that chases somebody away in this church. You will feel the wrath of Brad. You know what I mean? You know, we're here to try to gather and to help and to see people grow. You know, God, I was so far from God and so messed up. I know what God can do. All we have to do is just put ourselves in that position to let God change our life. And like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. Next, you know, we're Spirit-led. You know, the Holy Spirit's a teacher here, and He knows what we need. Each of us knows that we have different issues. So we need to trust that the Holy Spirit will bring truth to each of our lives, no matter what our level of growth is in the kingdom of God. What I mean by that, somebody here may be a 20-year Christian, maybe a teacher themselves, and I'll preach on a certain thing, and I'll say it just in one sentence. That'll mean something to that 20-year veteran teacher. And then somebody that's only been here maybe a week or two, the Holy Spirit can take that same sentence and make it for them also.
Yes.
See, that's the Holy Spirit. That's why we work so hard to try to woo the Holy Spirit to be a part of our service, because He can do so much.
Amen.
In our lives if we just let Him. So, and it's not just me. I pack an anointing. I know that. But you pack an anointing.
Yes.
And when we hook our arms together, we're unstoppable.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. So then, now I'm going to get into worship. And this is where some things kind of start to materialize, that we need to see some, maybe some pictures. You know, worship. Number one, we worship God in our giving. That's a form of worship. Giving is a form of worship. You know, it's an act of worship because we're acknowledging God as a provider. So when we give to God, we worship Him. It's a love offering. It's our tithe or whatever it may be. And we're just saying, God, I'm taking what You give me, and in obedience, I'm giving back to You because I know that You can do something with this. I want to build the kingdom of God. I want to see lives change, and I'm just making this investment in my local church. And so giving is a form of worship because, you know, the Bible says we're imitators of God. And God was a giver. God so loved the world that He gave. God's given, give, give, give. God gives all the time. And so we want to copy that. And that's part of the giving. And then, you know, it, really giving is a trust thing. And that's what it boils down to, folks, is that giving is a trust thing. Once we start to trust, then we're free to be able to do more. Okay. Then, now I want to get into the worship part. This is what I want to explain a little bit more. So hopefully we can go a little deeper into the things of God, into the worship, into the presence of God, if we understand what worship is really all about and how that works. You know, some people think we just sing songs and play patty cake, you know what I'm saying? You know, because it's cool to sing, maybe, whatever. But there's a reason for everything that we do. So we worship the Lord in song with two different flows. We have praise and we have worship. Okay? There's praise and then there's worship. And praise is different than worship, and we're going to look at that here. But the reason why we worship God before we preach is to try to get us focused on Him. So worship, what we need to do is we need to worship God like we don't care what anybody thinks. We only care what God thinks. So when you come into church and you're going to worship, I don't care what you think about me. You know, I laugh about being out of rhythm. It don't bother me a bit. That's what makes me special. You know what I mean? I'm special. So I worship God. I don't care what you think about how I worship God. I don't try to, like I said, I don't intrude on your ability to worship, but I don't look at, oh, what do they think about me raising my hands? What do they think about me clapping? What do they think about this or that? No, I worship, my focus is on one person, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And our church is unique. We don't have a band, never really did, to say. We had a little bit that tried but didn't flow right or work out. But we just have somebody come up to lead us in worship. I mean, so there's no band worship in this church, in a sense. We have no superstars. You know, our focus is only on Jesus.
Amen.
When we worship. And that's what it should be. Because we want to get to the place that, you know, we're so free that, you know, we don't care what's going on around us. Maybe a kid is making a noise, whatever the case may be. We just zoom in. We want to do it because, to me, it's like a funnel. Most people know what a funnel is, right? It starts wide and then it goes narrow. So when we start to worship, we come in, because I'll tell you what, some people might have had a bad drive to church. You know, anybody had one of those? Maybe the kids, getting the kids ready. Poor men just sitting out there in the driveway honking, telling their wife to hurry up with the three kids, and she just don't get it, right? She just don't understand that we're going to be late. So all those things come in, so we come into the door and we're not really prepared to worship Jesus. You know, we're just wanting to get through this thing because we're going to have another argument when we get home. So I want to get through this right now, you know, so we can get back to arguing. No. So we want to want the funnel. So the funnel starts real wide when we come in the doors sometimes. But then through the process of the service of how we do things, we're zeroing in a little bit more. And then we're getting to the place where we, our focus is on Jesus. Because he's the one why we're here. Remember, no Jesus, no church.
That's right.
So that's what it's about. I'm all for the fellowship and everything, but our main goal is that God is glorified. So we start wide. Now when we praise, the difference between praise and worship, praise is a little more outward going. Worship's a little more intimate with a brief statement. So praise, it talks about enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So that's what we do the first thing, because we're not totally focused on Jesus. We're not ready to go into the Holy of Holies all the time. Now maybe, bless God, you're the type of person, you know, you spent 2 hours praying before you come to church, and you prayed all your way here, and you walk in the door, you're just in the zone. Well, not everybody's like that. So we enter his gates and gates with thanksgiving. And so we start with the praise songs. They're a little more upbeat, hand clapping, you know. And that's what gets us to kind of zero in and start to focus on Jesus a little bit. And it helps us to deal with those distractions. Those distractions that try to come in and to rob us from getting close to God. Well, after we go through that phase, well, then we transfer over into the worship part. And that's why we usually finish with a slow song in our last set there. Because we want people to get really close to God. And because worship is a time when it's a little slower and it's more intimate. It's intimate. And that's what we need to be with our God. Because our mind then should be uncluttered. And we're focusing on God and his presence. And that's not just my job, that's your job. See, when we do this right and we do this together, it's exponential.
Yes.
Our faith has risen. Yes. And we're all here with one accord and we're really wanting to see God move. And that should be the part. So it's a time when during the worship phase, usually not as much clapping during that part. It's usually, I can sway with the best of them. This is my role. I like to sway. That's just how I go. And then, you know, sometimes in that phase, we raise our hands. You know, you remember that first time, maybe you're not there yet. So here's what it's like when you start out coming to church. Some people's around you raising their hands and you want to do it so bad. Now, not everybody does, but most people want to do that because everybody else is doing it. And you get about right here. That's intense, right? Because your focus isn't on Jesus, it's focusing on what you look like. And so we got to get past that. And then little by little, we can raise our hands with reckless abandon. Not caring what anybody else thinks, we're just thinking about Jesus, just wanting to focus on him. Because like we studied on the tabernacle, our goal is to get into the Holy of Holies. That's what we do. That's how we structure our service. We start off with the wide funnel, and then we come, and then our goal is to get you into the Holy of Holies, and then I step up to preach. Ta-da! You know, no. But it helps. It really works if we can get in the presence of God.
Amen.
It makes my job a lot easier. And then we start to see the Holy Spirit doing things that we maybe never expected. It all comes by each of us doing our part. It's not just, you know, something that the pastor does. And then also during worship, it's a time when we can express our heart's cry. Because we each have pain. We each have things going on in our life that only God knows about, and we can just maybe release that to God. Okay? Also, the part about the gifts, each person has one. You know, we try to give opportunity for body ministry to the Lord. You know, after our, you know, we sing our first song is how we roll. That's just the kind of, because some people roll in a little late, you know what I mean? It just kind of gets things going. And then we do our thing. And then after announcements and all that, then we go into our set. And then that's a time that we do that. And we give opportunity after the last song, usually. And the worship leader's supposed to do this. Sometimes they forget. But sometimes we just wait on the Lord for a minute. You don't have to wait a long time. We just wait on the Holy Spirit. Maybe he wants to do something. Maybe he wants somebody to pray. Maybe somebody, God gave you a word to say to the congregation, something encouraging, to build each other up. So we wait right there, just for a little bit, just to give the Holy Spirit opportunity. We need to be sensitive to him. So we try to give opportunity for people to minister, you know, in those ways, because it's what the Bible say. Each one has a psalm. Each one might have a word. Somebody might have a tongue, right? So we want to give opportunity for that because it builds the body. We're in the bodybuilding business. And so that's what that does. And then we give another opportunity. You know, ever since after COVID, we interjected this last song at the end, and I think it's been a success.
Amen.
You know, and we sing that song after we're all done, and we wait upon the Lord. And different people in the congregation will pray. And also, somebody may have a scripture, a word from God. We just kind of wait on God there for a minute, because it's all about him. You know, I try to watch the clock, to be respectful of your time. But you know, when we get into that phase, you know, we don't watch the clock anymore.
That's right.
You know, we want to watch the Spirit.
Thank you.
And try to flow with him and give him opportunity to speak, because there's something that you might say that somebody really needs. And if you hold back on that, it's going to cheat them. It's going to cheat yourself. And the biggest blessing I see as a pastor is when I know most of you in some way, shape, or form. But when you pray out loud in public for the first time, oh my, I feel good. Because I know what you feel like right now. I remember that feeling of what it's like to be able to get past those fears of fear of man and all that stuff and just do that. You know, it's just awesome. So we give opportunity, we try to give opportunity for you to flow in your gifts. So, in closing, the big picture, you know, we need to go deep and grow tall. That's what we need to do. We need to grow. It's all about growth. It's not about stagnation. It's not about, hey, I've arrived. There's nothing more you can teach me. You know, if we do that, we're missing out. So we need to keep going deeper. Because the deeper our foundation, the taller we can grow in Christ. Any skyscraper doesn't have an 8-foot basement wall. It has a foundation that goes really deep, because you need that depth to be able to hold it up. So that's why in the small group application, we went to this concept of root downward, bear fruit upward. It's about getting connected and getting our roots down. And when you come here, you know, keep it real. Love God, love people, you know. Give people grace. Don't judge. You know, judge not lest you be judged. Been there, did that. You know what I mean? Burned the t-shirt because I didn't want nobody to know. But, you know, so we don't judge. We give people the freedom. We don't want to be phony. If you have a problem, you know, maybe find a friend or myself or my wife and say, hey, I need prayer. You know, don't put on a fake deal if you need help, because we want to help. That's what we're about. So we need to be genuine with each other. Be friendly. You know, the person, you know, you may be an introvert. I did the leadership class, and you really need to come to that if you haven't yet. But
We did a survey. What was it? How many people in the leadership class was an introvert? Everybody but one. 8% considered themselves an extrovert. Yikes. So what's that mean? No, really, I'm asking, what's that mean? No. That means if you're an introvert, the odds are the person over close to you is an introvert. Somebody's got to get up and go talk. Just get up and say, hey, how's it going?
Amen.
You know, be friendly. You know, get past that introvert. Accepting others, always remember this, accept others like Christ accepted us. That's the bottom line. You know, see the good in people, not the bad. And then lastly, I know our church, we are not for everybody, but we are for anybody. Not everybody will flow with us. I know that. You know, I'd say it's just the way it is. How do you know that? Well, 20-some years experience. We're not for everybody, but I'll tell you what, anybody comes, I'm on your side.
Thank you.
Amen? Thank you. All right, let's close in prayer.